This word comes to you from Mountain Life Church in McCall, Idaho, where God is bringing wholeness to people, families, and communities through His Word, His Spirit, and authentic, loving relationships. It is truly our heart that this message touches you and brings wholeness to your families.
Thanks, Joe, for the introduction. I am so blessed and so humbled by having the opportunity to bring a word to the house, and I work really hard on listening to God and listening to where I believe, as the things that we watch, to have eyes to see and ears to hear where God is directing us as a body, individually and collectively. And so we've had, obviously, in leadership, we've had a ton of prayer about where we're at, where we're going, and the seeking of God's direction for us as a house. And amazingly, He gives us direction. It's a matter of us seeking it out and us having the patience to be able to listen and to move through until we understand. And what we found is an interesting piece of that is many times because I personally believe that there's an order, an ordained order that is taking place all the time around us. And I think that God's people, wherever they may be, in this house or the houses around the world, God is speaking to them through the Holy Spirit and where that is. And I absolutely believe that the word says that in those days, my people will join together from the four corners of the earth and be of one spirit and one mind. And I trust God when He says the things that come out of His mouth will not come back to Him void. And that is where we are in our journey as corporate and individual believers, is focusing and keeping our eyes and our ears open for what God is doing and pouring in with prayer. So, speaking of prayer, so behind these ears that you're staring at, I have one pair of hearing aids, one pair of sound equipment, and one pair of glasses. So if you want something to pray about this thing doesn't just blow up right in the middle of it all. So will you guys just pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so blessed. We are so blessed, as it was said in our Wednesday night group, Lord, that we live in a nation that at this time we have no worry of coming together as a community of believers and to worry about persecution. We thank you that our forefathers on bended knee hundreds of years ago, as they wrote their constitution under your guidance, and at times would pray for hours and hours and hours on one issue, to be led by you in the creation of this great document. One nation under God, indivisible. And we pray that for our house, Lord. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us as we move through the preparation that we're in because of the direction that you have given us as a house. In Jesus' name, amen. Agua. So in the scriptures, we find in a number of different places that when God's administrators are moving through different circumstances, they take the opportunity to tell some of the church's history of where we've been, how we've gotten to where we're at today. And so examples of that might be with Peter, and when Peter was talking to the collective individuals about the replacement of Judas, and described what took place coming up to the fact that they're set in this position where they absolutely need to find a successor, if you will, for Judas. But he brought the how, because no matter what the gathering, everyone is not always aware of where the footsteps have happened before us. Paul did the same thing, and he talks about it in the book of Romans, when his journey to basically defend himself takes him literally for years, because he has petitioned Caesar. And so he takes that opportunity that when he gets before Caesar, he uses that to present the gospel. He wasn't this big thing about defending himself. He had already been justified long before, 2 years before that. He had been justified that he should have been released. Yet he petitioned Caesar, which took him on another couple of year journey to sit in front of Caesar, not defending himself, but defending the word of God. I would like to take the opportunity similarly do the same thing in that where we've been as a house is an exciting thing, difficult thing, but an incredibly exciting thing. This year in 2019, we had the opportunity to seek God's direction and God's vision for us as a house, as a believing house. And we knew he had a direction, and we sat and we prayed about it. And it broke forth into the focuses of worship, children's church, children's ministries, which would be children's, middle school, high school. The high school piece is still out there. We are confident it's going to come together, but we just don't know the answers yet. And community outreach. Community outreach is long historic. The history of long before the merging of probably almost 14 years ago now, the merging of the two churches. Long before that was a ministry that was taking place out in the community. And there were many individuals who actually, you may not see them in the church building, but because of the impact of our church in our community, absolutely would say, if I were going to church, Mountain Life would be my church because of our function within the community. So the community piece has come together as being a focal point of where we're moving as a house. And so because God has given us direction, commission, if you will, we want to make sure that our time of preparation for embarking on that commission is the things that we pay attention to. So a lot of what I talk about today has to do with Christendom in the whole, not necessarily our house, because, quite frankly, our church is an enigma when you compare it to Christendom in the whole. And we'll go through that and bring some understanding of why I say that. But most important, we want to remember that God has commissioned us to go out. And when we do, when we go out, it's easy to think about missions work in another nation. When we go out, it's through that door. And then the world coming in through the door. So I believe it's up, and it should be what we say here should never stay here. Unlike Las Vegas, the things that we get, the things that we are gifted by the Lord with, should never stay in this house. Should be taken outwardly to the people that we come in contact with. Our commission, a time of preparation, a time of healing, as we have seen in the things up to this point with what we've walked through as a house. So early on, I was absolutely so encouraged that God brought literally a warrior to our house in Pastor Joe, because we not only needed it in the early years that he and Heidi were here, we will need it in the years ahead. And we know that the commission that's given to us is laid out in a few of these different scriptures. There's many, this is not exhausted. But Mark 16:16-15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Luke 10:3, "Go, for I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Ephesians 6:12, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." And Ephesians 6:11, "So put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." It's apparent to me as I read these types of things that a picture is being painted For as a house, as a people, as individuals, and as collective, we're being given a directive, and we're being we're having our awareness raised to what we will need to be successful on what God's commissioning us to do. So if you look at the church and its character, most specifically, remember, we're talking about the macro of Christendom and the micro of our church. They're both pieces and parts that come together at the same time. So if you were to think of a picture which expressed the characteristics of the church based on what we just established, the warrior attitude, the battle attitude, is the church to be more like a picture, cruise ship, with these characteristics? Do I like the music they play in the ballroom? Do I like the captain and the crew? Is the service acceptable? Am I well fed? Were my needs promptly met? Is the cruise pleasant? Am I comfortable? And do I want to cruise with them again? So I would assume, based on what we know of Christendom, they've called of lots of different names, there are churches that keep me comfortable. Don't make this too hard for me. Now, Scripture questions that journey. Christ talks about, there will be hard times, but I will be with you. I will be you always. I will be next to you, by your side, in all the circumstances that come. Or are we to be more like a battleship? We talked about these two differences some years ago, actually, now. And we started with talking about in the Corinthians, when Paul was talking about the Corinthians, and he described those that were believers were servants, and to be servants. And in the Greek word, the servant said under-rowers. Now, Paul was looking at the Corinthians, and it was a great port. They came from two different locations, and there was this huge port that was going on, lots of trading and things. So he knew that the people will understand what an under-rower is. And so because ships were very, very dependent at that time on moving cargo, they had to have rowers, banks of rowers, as well as a sail. So at that time in our church history, we were building up unity in the house and people coming into and praying for. Joe got a word some years ago now that help is on the way. And we held on to that for a considerable piece of time. And help did come. Help is represented here, and not everyone is here. Help came. Under rowers came. And when we talked about that, it was being able to have Joe's on this oar cranking away, and Joe needs to be at the helm, listening to God to direct us. So we talked about someone coming in and taking over Joe's oar so he could go into the place that God had for him. So the battleship versus the cruise ship, is the ship on a clear and noble mission? I believe so, yes. Based on what we're, very recent, what we've been through and where we're headed. Is the ship able to endure storms at sea? I believe yes. We've spent a lot of time enduring storms through the years. Does the captain submit to a higher authority? Yes, he does. I sit in meetings with him watching that happen. Are the tactics and moves of the enemy well understood by the crew? I believe, personally believe, that this house has a greater understanding of the enemy than the average house. And that's what we need to be successful in where we're going, and something that our captain has directed us in. Does the crew have proper training and expertise? Next steps, where we're at, what we're doing, understanding what your giftings are, how do you move in your giftings? Are the crew members equipped to succeed? With the guidance of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, 100%. It's when we veer away from that that we lose track of where our direction is. Does the crew cooperate with the captain and the leaders? We are a people of corporate understanding, but also individual journey. So cooperation has to do with listening, hearing, empathy, understanding. Doesn't necessarily mean with agreement. It means that we understand and we come to a unified direction, a unified belief on where are we going. We may have some backseat issues that they say that really aren't relevant, but they need to be heard and they need to be talked about and they need to be prayed for and they need to be continually walked through over time. Are the crew taught to be disciplined and vigilant? I believe so, yes. Are they at their post operating within their giftings? A great question, one which we'll probably be exploring in the near future additionally. Do they take battle seriously? That's a question for each individual. We can say over the house, we would hope so, but that's an individual question. I have to understand what the battle is to even understand the question. And part of that is the battle of the house, the common goal, and my personal battles as well. Do I take them seriously? Does the ship have adequate first aid and medical help? Spiritual wounding and the need for healing. Do we provide to that? Do we give opportunity for that? I believe yes. But it has to be asked for. It's always sad to find out that a person has a wounding and you didn't know about it. Well, people should just know. No, they won't. People are not mind readers. And we don't know unless we're told. And we is we. It's not just leadership. Individuals, you know, in the community, in your own interactions, in your own moving through, and the people who you're drawn towards or the people that you have connection with, that's where that information comes from. Because many times people will not take that forward themselves, but with your encouragement, can lead to. Obviously, people have their own decisions that they make, and we cannot force that to happen, but with encouragement. Will you walk with me? Will you go and talk with the pastor with me? Will you go and talk with eldership with me? Will you go to whatever division we're talking about and be there for me? Absolutely. We should all do that and be willing to do that. Is the crew able to distinguish lesser threat from greater threat? So we know the things that we deal with, and we know that based on everybody's experience, the anxiety that they feel or the stress that they feel with any given circumstance can be greater than my own. Part of that is because of the journey that we've been on independently, the place that our testimonies come from. Our ability to be able to understand, we don't even have to agree with, our ability to understand where people are going through and the stress that they're having and where it originates and our ability to be able to come alongside them and encourage them too could be just my own testimony about that I've been there myself. Let me support you. Let me walk with you through this. Or as the combat vets that I work with and have for 25 years, I have to be honest to say to them, I don't totally understand your journey. I've never been in combat. I don't get this. My father was a highly decorated combat veteran, and I grew up with my dad, and quite frankly, the effects of post-traumatic stress. Well, I was never in combat. So there's this component that I may be able to have an empathetic ear, but I may never be able to understand the struggles and the journeys that people have. But it shouldn't keep me from coming alongside them and do whatever I can, even if it's just encouragement, even if it's just praying together and praying for God to bring the breakthrough that's needed for this different individual. Our commission is to take the gift of the gospel to the world, which is just outside of our door. So the gift of the gospel. Any believer carries the gift of the gospel. What do we do with it? Are we given the gift of ourselves and we take it? So that's so beautiful. Thank you so much. And we put it on the high shelf in the closet. And Casey, we take it out and we love just the way it's wrapped and the way it is. And I'm so glad that I was given this great gift. And back on the shelf it goes. The commission is not to have it and hold it. The commission is to take the gift to the world. Right? We know that. That is the directive that we're given. The question comes up, again, this is talking about Christum in completeness. How do we present the gift? Do we just take it out and here's a gift for you? Or do we have the preparation of the individuals that we're coming in contact with, which we're not really sure that we'll be able to totally understand their journey, yet we're still supposed to give the gift? So if you think about presenting the gift of the gospel to someone and the ways that you might present it, here's the card that came with it before I got to open my gift of the gospel. To whoever you are and wherever you will be, from the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. If you don't accept this gift, you're going to die. Is that the way I would want to present that? Now, there are presentations by absolutely sincere believers who would present just exactly that way. But I don't think it's absolutely the best way to present it. So an alternative might be, you are about to open the greatest gift humanity and all of creation have ever received, and it's free. At least a start, right? So we don't want to throw something that, in my opinion, is kind of smelly right out of the gate. Because do I want to open this now? I'm going to die if I don't accept this. I have no idea what's in the box yet, but can I just turn around and go the way I came in? I was feeling pretty good before this whole discussion started. And now I have to worry about dying if I take the free gift that you give me. So I think it's that presentation, as well-intended as it can be, is absolutely critical when we move into the commission that we have and the individuals we will come in contact with. Part of our discussion for whole people, whole communities, and whole church is that Jesus said, I have not come for those people who are healthy. I've come for the sick who need a doctor. The individuals in my heart are those that don't feel like they have options, that feel like they have a place that's been determined for them, where they stand in society. What my heart is and my hope is, and I believe this house's heart, is that we want to be going into the community and we want to be encouraging individuals into our body because of what we've found there, because of what this house has done for other people and what we know has, and that spirit of unity that we've talked about. So I did consider wearing my steel-toed boots for this part of the sermon, because I'm stomping on my own feet as well as possibly someone else's. But it is so critical. It's so critical that we understand, again, even with great intentions, how we engage individuals as we embark on the journey that God is putting on us. So we know we've set sail with our ship, and we're out, and we know what the commission is, and we know that we want to be absolutely paying attention to how we present And so where we're going at this point has to do away from this house, because we do really do a great job in comparison. It goes into, again, Christendom in general. Think of it. All the preparation, all the expectation, all the anticipation of the battle for the Lord, possibly lost only because of our presentation. An example of what I believe is a balance is Barnabas and Paul, who was previously Saul. So Barnabas actually, and you guys know the story, Barnabas actually introduced Saul to the apostles. And I use the word Saul because while his name had been changed to Paul, what they're seeing is Saul. And Scripture is very clear, and they're like, yikes, it's Saul. Do you know what this guy has done? And so they're hesitant to take this on. But Barnabas, I think it's the divine order. Barnabas, is his actual real name was Joseph, and his name Barnabas means son of encouragement. So Barnabas brought Paul, Saul, who turns out to be one of the greatest writers within the Scriptures ever been, huge teacher, and continued to carry that. So you may be wondering about the bone. So this is a bone from my office when combat vets bring their companion dog in. They jump on this right away. And there's this stuff in the middle that unless they have a really long tongue, they can't get to, but they try really hard. But I thought about this. So Paul, to me, when you read about while he was Saul, and then you read about when he became Paul, whatever he believes in, he's like a dog on a bone. And you know how that is. You can have a dog that just loves you every other time of the day, but you throw him a bone, and they're all of a sudden, teeth are showing, get away from my bone, I'm going one direction. Paul, I believe, because of his great ability to teach, and teaching tends to be, this is what the word says, this is what you are to do. Okay? Encouragement, on the other hand, Barnabas's part was, the word says this, but let me walk with you. Let me encourage you. It may feel overwhelming. There may feel like, how in the world can I ever fit to these pieces and parts that I'm being told are this character of Jesus, that being a Christian is to be Christ-like? How will I ever get there? And specifically, especially for somebody, we all have our baggage. I think it would have been talked about as filthy rags. None of us has our own righteousness. It's putting on Jesus' righteousness. But the concept, that concept is, takes time. It takes time to understand that how in the world can my righteousness be as filthy as rags, yet I have Christ's righteousness as an early believer? That takes time. That takes Barnabas is walking along and encouraging and say, well, let's just talk about this. What are your thoughts? Well, I find it incredibly difficult for me to gain this, even though I've been given the gift of the gospel for me to comprehend what's being said. I mean, how many people have been believers here for 20 years? 30 years? 40 years? Hands are still up? 50 years? 60 years? Do I hear 70? No 70 yet. But we have individuals that have been part of our house the 70 and 80 years of their relationship with the Lord. How many people here maybe have a relationship with the Lord that's 10 years, roughly? 5 years? 2.5 years? You get my point, right? So you have an individual that's been here for over 50 years and in their walk. And if you're like me, what I know for sure, and you've heard this come out of my mouth before, what I know absolutely for certain is how much I don't know. That's what I know for sure. And if you've been in a walk with the Lord for 80 years, there's still this depth that absolutely surpasses our comprehension. But along the way, the power of our testimony to the individual who has been a believer for maybe 2 years, that individual who has walked through 50 years of a relationship with the Lord has this great opportunity to come alongside. There are problems with it, though. I thank God for water. Probably in hell is one of those things you get it. You probably have that cotton mouth the entire time. It's like, just touch and put a, just touch the end of my tongue with that thing. I can't. Thank you, Lord, for water. So part of my grief is when I hear people talk about, I'm thinking about how I want to say this, not having on my steel sword boots, that have been hurt by Christendom. And while I want to believe that it's never the intent to hurt someone, the struggle that I have is to listening to stories of people, maybe early believers, maybe have been believers for an extended period of time, that have gone through struggles so horrendous that it would be really, really difficult for us to comprehend. I'm just saying. I've heard a lot of stuff in 25 years of doing counseling and hear about things, and I am never ceases to amaze me when I'll have somebody come through the door and tell me about their journey. And once again, I'm dumbfounded how this person's just breathing still, much less they have a relationship with God. But unfortunately, some of those people have left organized religion, and they have a personal relationship with the Lord, and they engage that. But the word says, do not forsake the gathering. That's the place that testimonies are built, that prayers are found, that we invite each other in to cover each other's backs, to absolutely have the opportunity to praise God for what he's doing. So an example. My guess is most of you in this room, maybe not some of the younger folks, have heard of Mahatma Gandhi. And Gandhi was a great, great leader in India. 30s, 40s, late 40s, maybe the early 50s. This was a man who his entire life was based on the whole theory of loving other people. But he lived in a society that was class. It was all about classes. The entire society was all about classes. And so he becomes intrigued with Jesus and Jesus' teachings. See if I can pull this up, just an example of. As Joe knows, media is not my strong point. Like I said, not my strong point. We'll shorten it up. It was the Beatitudes where Christ on the Mount was talking about those that are blessed. And he goes through this long list of those that are blessed that are going through hardships, those that are blessed that are at the bottom of the heap, yet they will gain heaven. All this thing, it was so in Gandhi's face, based on the society that he lived and born into and grew up in, he became absolutely enamored with the teachings of Jesus Christ. So he decided that he would travel and go to a Christian church and find out more about this Jesus guy. And so he goes up to this large church, and he goes up to the front door, and the greeter at the door, and you'll hear me say some comments about greeters at the door that does not pertain to our house. You guys are two thumbs up with greeters. But in this story, comes through the door, and the greeter stops him because of the class system and says, you're not welcome here. And he turns and walks away. Christendom lost another Martin Luther King Jr. in that individual, who later walked totally in love to free and bring independence to the whole nation of India, because it was under British rule at that time. I mean, it's hard for me to fathom, had this individual walked into this church and with what was on his heart, what difference would that have made? Yet, that whole thing was lost. The whole thing was lost. And it was all about presentation. It was all about, and I can't hardly get my head around that it was not intention, but I can understand that people get stuck in tradition and then the whole class system thing. And we would like to think, oh, yeah, well, that was back then, and we understand today probably be a lot of people talk about white privilege, I mean, all kinds of stuff. But it's not about the color of your skin. It's about your heart. It's about the spirit that dwells in your heart and understanding what that is, and that all humanity, absolutely deserve to have this. What they do with it is up to them, but all humanity deserve it. So every opportunity that we get, we need to take the opportunity in whatever form it may be. And it's easy to say, well, that was a historical piece, and I think we've moved further along, but I would have to question that. And again, I absolutely know that the intent was right. We had an individual in our church, just an incredible human being, who had been through unbelievably hard things in their life and did not share those things with very many people because of their humility. And had a strong Christian church background, involved in church. Was very involved, actually had an abusive dad, had an abusive first husband, and was able to break away from that for her and her daughter. And church was a huge place for her and for the healing that took place there. And then, unfortunately, as things happen, we know that the wheat and the tares grow up together, and it just is what it is. And it's not for us to be plucking out anything, because it's clear the word says, hey, should we get in and get the weeds out? And he says, no. Leave that up to me. Because you may take out some weed along the way. And my interpretation of that is the chance that you hurt the hearts of wheat when you start taking out and extracting from at your own opinion of someone and their journey. So years go by, and she has the opportunity to meet with another fellow believer, who in encouraging her and coming alongside of her was willing to return to church, even after her young daughter had been molested by a person in the church. Not this church. But it was very, very difficult because of what it cost in her life. And so she chose to come back to church. Sat in the back row for a long time. And I wish I had his picture to put on the screen, but you guys know Michael Johnson. I call him my pirate Santa Claus, long hair with a patch. Know he's with the Lord and rejoice in that. But Michael got up and gave one of his testimonies and what the church meant to him and what the church did for him. And this caused this individual to move up a little closer, got back just a few rows from the front. Then a few weeks later, they decided to give their own testimony and got up and gave a testimony at the house, and also said that because of their incredibly difficult medical issues that they had dealt with for over a decade, that they were having to leave McCall and to go down to Boise to be closer for medical care. But in her testimony, she talked about what her house had done for her heart and the healing that had taken place, and just lifted you guys up hugely. And it was such a great thing. And she didn't share this with me until sometime later. And we were discussing this type of a circumstance, and she said, there was one little glitch I just felt, and I continued to carry and to walk in my healing and hold this house. But as she was walking out the door, a well-intended saint, came to her and said, you're not healed because you lack faith. And that was the last thing that was said to her as she walked out the door. Now, based on her personality and her stick-to-itiveness, she got past that and moved on with it. But for someone else, with the background that she had been through and the things that she had battled through, was continuing to battle with the Lord's help, that just hurts my heart. It was well-intended, and it's not bringing judgment, because those are the kinds of things that in our beliefs and in our faith, we will say those kinds of things because of our personal belief. But first, we need to think about the other individual. We don't have to say everything that's on our mind. We just don't have to. And so it can be the difference in personalities, the difference in giftings. We talked a little bit about Paul and Barnabas. It can be a teacher said, well, the word says, you will be healed if you have enough faith. That's what the word says. Barnabas would say, let me walk you. I know you've overcome a lot. We want to stay focused on what you've overcome. And we want to praise God for the things that have brought change into your life. And watching for and encouraging. And we know as we pray with expectation of where we're going from here. And tomorrow is a new day. And we continue to come alongside. And we know that Paul himself said, was asked to be have the thorn taken from his side. My opinion is it had to do with his eyesight. There's a lot of discussion about that. But the connection to him losing his eyesight on the road and when he was blinded, is it possible? When God's response to him was, my mercy is sufficient for you. Is it possible that that reminder of that visitation, 80% of our functioning is subconscious, only 20% is conscious as a human being. Is it possible that his struggle with his eyesight always reminded him of his life change? That's what I ask that we remember as a house, that we think about where people have been, where they literally are at a given time, and we talk to them with encouragement and project expectation, because the word tells us we're supposed to. We're expecting that God will answer our prayers. We don't know the time frame. That's the difficult part. We pray for peace that surpasses understanding. It surpasses understanding because we don't understand it. But we pray for that. And then we praise God when it happens. So if you will, stand up. So I'm going to ask, I know this is out of the ordinary, but I would ask, as a house of unity and in unity, while we're all on our own journey and we're in different places, I would ask that we all come up as much as we can and come into unity together, that we pray a prayer of us embarking on this community and in missions ahead of us, and that we walk with the hearts for people and the spirit for people. So I would invite you to come up. And while we're up here, if you need to get prayed for, we'll do that as well, if the prayer warriors want to come up. Don't worry, I'm not going to throw anything on you. All right. Well, I'll have another drink of water. So, Heavenly Father, as a house, as a unified house, complete people, complete church, and a complete community, Heavenly Father, we absolutely commit to you. The commission we understand, the fulfillment of it, it's not easy for each one of us, but we absolutely believe that through your Holy Spirit, you will provide us with what we need at any given time. You've told it throughout Scripture. You've shown us over and over and over and over again how you engage those whose journey you see the end result of. And you work to encourage us to just put a foot forward, Joe. I will give you what you need at the time. Just be willing to step in. I pray for that as our house, Lord, as we are embarking on this community outside of us, and all the pieces from the vision that has been cast, Lord, are coming together, and we're praising you in that. We pray for an acceleration, dear Lord. We have gotten a word in the last few months that in 12 months, by 2020, we will not recognize our house. And I believe it's this spirit that's welling up, Heavenly Father, and people are going to be drawn into that, our community be drawn. And we just pray for you to unfold your purpose for us and all the blessing and all the wisdom and all the insight that we will need as a house to accomplish the mission you have us moving into. We pray these things with all authority and all expectation and all anticipation that you will be glorified in the outcome. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's word. If you would like to receive prayer or get in contact with any of our ministries or leaders, go ahead and call us at 208-634-3037. Have a great and blessed day.